Hello, everyone, and welcome to Garden Gossip, the home and garden show, with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's Garden Gossip Show with Nancy and Lisa. Today's episode is all about a new book, and it's all about growing houseplants and happiness. It's called Hi, Cacti, and it's by Sabina Palermo. And we're thrilled to have Sabina zoom in all the way from Brighton, UK in England. Nancy, you and I have been to Brighton before.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Well, we lived in England for about 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, in Preston.
In Preston in and in another Southport. Yes,
Southport
too. Yeah. But this book is out on September 7th, 2021. Yeah. And you can go to the website, highcacti.com. And that's H-I-C-A-C-T-I, highcacti.com. But Sabina is joining us from Brighton. And what's so cool, a lot of you know we travel full time. And if you're hearing footsteps behind me, that is a cat running around, decided to go spin around the house that we're in. We travel full time across the country. And part of that is we hang out with dogs and cats as we travel. And so you may hear a cat, you may hear a dog or two. But Sabina, we're in Austin today. And I believe that's your hometown.
Oh, that's so nice. Yes.
Isn't that cool?
I feel like I'm totally connected to home now. That's
awesome.
I'm really jealous.
It's awesome. Austin is awesome, and it is keeping itself weird. It's doing a good job.
I'm so glad to hear it. When I left it 15 years ago, I was so scared that everything was going to just get too corporate. I'm glad to hear it's still funky and weird. It's how we like it.
It's funky.
A lot of new construction, so a lot of people moving here. So that means they all need to get houseplants so they can stay happy.
And there's a lot of musicians here.
Yeah, it's a really arty city. Yeah, great. I mean, it's renowned for the music scene, so I'm glad to still hear that's going.
Yeah, yes. The music's going. I think the night we drove in was late at night. We drove, it's around 10-11 at night. We drove through the actual downtown next to the Capitol building, and there was like this huge musicians bus, and I'm like, dude, who's in the bus? I want on the bus. Pull over. Now, if you are a musician traveling in a bus, can you have a house plant? A bus plant?
I would say so. It's really funny because we actually have in my shop that I have here in Brighton, we have these little like pots that have magnets on the back. And anytime we have people who are like on tour or van life or really keen campers, I find that they end up buying these little pots to somehow magnetize to somewhere inside their vehicle to have a little cactus or a succulent. But yeah, you do have to think about it because obviously it's a lot of the time going to be quite hot in most vans.
Yeah, especially in the States.
Especially in places like Austin. So I would say probably wouldn't recommend it in the summertime in places like that, but you can find plants that would kind of like suit van life.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we like van life.
Yes.
We don't have a van, but a plant is good in air plants, but we do have things hanging around in the car that keep things interesting. Maybe we come from Austin. I don't know. But now Austin, is that kind of where your inspiration for cactus and succulents comes from, being out in the Southwest?
You know, it's funny because like a lot of people, when you're surrounded by that kind of terrain, you don't really appreciate it. So I spent most of my life in Austin. And, you know, when you're in places like that, like cacti and succulents, they literally can grow in your garden. And so I don't actually feel like I ever really appreciated it. So the irony is I got more into it once I was living in England for quite a long time, just because I think that separation made cactus and succulents specifically start to really stand out more to me. And then ironically, I got my whole inspiration for starting my business when I was in Copenhagen, which seems completely random, but it was the only time I'd ever seen like a cactus shop that was all they did. And I remember when I stumbled across the shop, because it had been so many years later from my time in Austin, I walked in and I was like, this is so awesome. This is so amazing. And it reminded me of nurseries that I used to go to, of course, with my parents when I was a kid in Texas. And it was kind of this funny thing where I had this moment where I was like, actually, I did really enjoy walking around these nurseries when I was a kid with my parents. Like, sometimes things like that can be quite boring. But as I got older, I would get a coffee and I'd walk around these nurseries just to sometimes relax and have a bit of downtime in between classes and things. And it just was that weird time where it took me being in Copenhagen probably about 20 years later in a cactus shop to suddenly be like, actually, this is something that I think I'd like to maybe like pursue and bring back into my life in some way.
Cool. Hmm. Well, it's nice. Like having your own botanical garden, and we can do it in our own house. And now you do not sound like you come from Austin. I have to tell you,
you've lost that accent.
You've got the blended accent.
It's got the blended accent.
Yeah, I had that when we left South Africa. I've changed accents throughout my life. So this is, by the time we're done, I'll have a South African Afrikaans accent. Why not? So I'll just add a little Dutch and I'll go British at the same time just to honor, your travels. I love it. But yeah, it's interesting about having those flowers and those plants. I feel like people need it in their homes, and we house it, so we're seeing every kind of garden or it's lack of garden awesome. And homes mm-hmm. and some people it's all the sorry people, but there's fake plants going on, and I'm going, they're having fake yes. succulent and fake cactus. So for those who are watching this interview, and Nancy does look like the Statue of Liberty with
cool?
isn't that a zebra one that Nancy's got behind her head? Well, I've got it too.
Up there.
Yeah, it looks like aloe. Yeah, it looks like a type of aloe. Yeah.
So why to have fake aloe or fake succulents? And people are like, no, I don't have a green thumb. I'm too scared. I'm going, these are the easiest plants, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I kind of understand sometimes when people have fake plants, but the only way I really understand is if it's in a room with no windows. That I'm like, okay, if you want to kind of give a bit of a softening with plants, but there's no windows, fair enough. But I totally agree with you. You don't really get any of the good benefits that plants bring a space if they're fake.
They collect more dust hell somehow.
They
like
do.
What? I don't understand why.
Because they don't breathe.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But they do collect more dust. But I will say this. I am guilty of watering fake plants sometimes because the fake plants really do look so real, some of them. I water them and then I'm like, well, why don't I just wash them because they're dead already, So it's like, but getting the dust off of them, especially if they're anywhere near a kitchen, they get greasy dust. I don't know. I find them more dust catchers than something to make a room look good.
No, definitely. I mean, that is one of the many benefits of houseplants is they do still like suck in and get dust particles out of a room, but you're absolutely right. They don't kind of just dust sits on them. This thing too is like plants literally indoors, they act like little particle hoovers, like vacuums where they'll literally clean
air. You said Hoover.
I know, I caught myself. I'm finally speaking to some Americans and I just said Hoover.
That is so funny. I've got to go Hoover.
You're going to Hoover your flat. My Hoover has a flat.
I just made sure as soon as I said it, I was like, say vacuum tubes and they know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So we've got an audience in England too, but so Hoover, so they are, they're like filters. It's like your natural filtration system.
Absolutely. Right. And of course we, as we know, but we're so detached from the benefits sometimes that we forget, like plants release oxygen as well. Mm-hmm. So when we spend most of our time indoors, having those indoor plants, as well as obviously having ideally some lovely plants in our gardens to also like help the planet. But because we bring so many different things into our homes, especially in new build buildings, where all of the rugs, the carpets, the soft furnishings like pillows and sofas, everything like that is going to be letting off toxins in our closed-in rooms and homes, let alone the chemicals and paints that we use and varnishes as well. So it's really amazing because you know, even scientifically, when you look at the tests that they run to check air purification that indoor plants give, we should, in theory, really have like a, you know, a plant every few square feet just to start kind of balancing out and helping with that kind of airflow and cleaning our air.
I think that that's offices true. Need to do it. But now, you know, with this whole COVID thing, more and more people are turning to staying at home. Our whole work life has changed. Yeah. And I think the more you're home, the more you want those plants. But even if it's a corporate office, even restaurants, I'd like to see actual plants at the table versus cut, you know what I mean? Or again, the fake. We don't want, okay, out with the fake, everyone. No fake allowed. But, you know, if we planted plants, I don't know, for work, for just working, you need that oxygen. Otherwise, you have that afternoon slump and then say, I want to go have a martini lunch.
Well, I agree. I always find it really surprising. And to be honest, that's actually how my whole business started out, is where I was making concrete pots and cool. putting little cactus and succulents in them. And I started just doing it for myself once I started getting into it after that trip to Copenhagen. And then I had friends who had restaurants and cafes around town, and they would see them and they were like, oh, these would be great for little, you know, the cafe tables. And because lots of these places, they used to have cut flowers that they would pay loads of money for and have to change out, of course, once to twice a week. And those are the cafes and the restaurants that saw my pots. And I'd be like, yeah, really, all you need to do is add these cactus and succulents. Most of the time, they only need to be watered once a month, maybe twice a month max. And then, you know, they kind of just do their thing and survive and thrive. And it's so depressing, I think, anytime I walk into a restaurant or an office, and if you see a lovely looking space, and then you sit down at the table, and then you realize that's a fake plant. Like when you're that close to it, even if it's a good fake plant, it becomes very clearly obvious. And I always find it just a bit depressing. I'm like, oh, you just had to add like a plastic plant to the setting and thinking that's going to make it feel kind of ambient. And I think it's always a bit disappointing.
You know, it's interesting. We were just in a place where they had, we call them naughty little boy plants. You know what I'm talking about. It's
anthuriums.
Okay, sorry. Well, they are. And so they're
Lisa.
Well, they are little boy plants. With a peace lily too. Like, come on. Well, anyway, it wasn't looking so happy. And all we did is like a splash of water. And all of a sudden, there's this color added to the house. This whole room changes according to colors. I think they're like cool house plants. And there's just, I don't know, that when they bloom, it's exciting. And you see a bud, like, aren't you going to look every single day like you do in your garden? And it's, and again, going back to people working at home, it's kind of like your indoor and your outdoors can connect through plants. Like you can feel like you're outside, like when it rains or it's one of those days you can't sit outside because of the weather, you want your plants.
Yeah.
You feel that, otherwise you go crazy. So there's flowers that you can have, flower power.
Absolutely. And exactly. I think having potted flowers, it's just so much more sustainable. I mean, you know, the floristry industry has recently, I think a lot of people are starting to think about that, where they're like, actually, when we think about all the different things that we're trying to be a bit more economical about, cut flowers, you know, they're just one of those things where they're so incredibly perishable. So I've actually, in my shop, I've started moving towards only stocking dried flowers, because then for people who are still enjoying having, you know, the kind of daintiness of flowers, but they still want something like that can look like a bouquet, dried flowers are a great option. But I always have anthuriums. I usually get some really kind of bold colors because my brand's quite OTT and colorful, kind of like Austin, definitely the inspiration. And so we call them, I don't know if this has the same common name, but we call them flamingo flowers.
Oh,
which is lovely. I mean, I also like your nickname for them, which is quite hilarious.
Sorry. Well, listen, plants are supposed to be fun, and this is about happiness. So, you know,
you talk to them. So if you have a little boy plant, you're like, oh, look at you today.
No, aren't you a happy little boy?
You're a happy little boy.
So the other thing too, well, you talk to them. All right. So you talk about meditating with your plants. So there's that Zen part of it, of caring for something that does feel joy. You know, when you're feeling down, the first thing to do is to go help somebody else you feel better.
Absolutely. And I think that's it, the act of nurturing, you know, I mean, as humans, I think it's a huge part of who we are is, like you were saying, if you see somebody who needs help, like a lot of our gut instinct is to immediately help them. And so I think for a lot of people, especially through this crazy pandemic time, I think lots of people instinctively got into plants because, for example, if you don't have a pet and, you know, plants are another really accessible way for people to nurture and care and look after something. And you do, you see those parallels and how it makes you feel when you see that new leaf kind of unfurl or the flower coming up and, you know, just new growth and noticing how much bigger a plant's gotten and while it's been under your care, it gives us a boost. I mean, it's really interesting because in this country, I know that doctors and therapists have started literally prescribing plants to people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Green therapy, literally. And they're starting to recommend it for so many different things, whether it's people who are trying to get over addiction, people who are depressed, feeling a lot of stress and anxiety. It's so calming for us to interact with nature. And because lots of people do live in cities and don't necessarily have gardens of their own, we've kind of been seeing more of an increase in how gardening is so good for our well-being, even with elderly people for loneliness, but even things that are more severe like dementia and other illnesses. But being able to bring the outdoors in and having that in our homes and offices, like you were talking about, there's so many benefits to that. And it completely makes sense. We've always been connected to nature, like our ancestors, the indigenous, we've always used and utilized plants in our entire existence. But it's obviously, we live in such a digital world now, but I think it just makes complete sense that when we do handle plants, utilize plants, and even just touching them, it calms us. And I think it calms us for a reason, because we're so... you know,
we're all uptight, man. Things are just stressful.
It's a stressful time.
Plants are medicine. I mean, that's our first, you know, go-to for medicine. And apparently now it comes in pills, you know, and injections, the jab, you know, but plants are the first, root of medicine for us. And even in their just beauty form, you know, without doing anything, for those who have never grown a plant or raised a plant or nurtured a plant, it is scary. And I was saying that at the beginning about the fake plants, a lot of times it's because people are busy or travel a lot. And, you know, there's house sitters, go to trusted house sitters, everybody. I'm telling you, we are all good at taking care of plants and we dig it. You've got to all really know about what plant to put where, right? It's about sunshine and then food and water. We got to feed. You've got a whole bar going on for your plants in the book. Your food and drinks for the plants. So you've got 20 plants that you cover in there that are easy for people to get. And a lot of these you can start propagating yourself, too, which is fun.
Well, we talk about that in the book. I kind of recommended like my personal 20 kind of easy care go-to plants. And I intentionally chose them because they're the ones that when people come into my shop and they say, I'm a plant killer, I've never had a plant or any of those kind of signs, I say, okay, well, let's start you in a way where you're going to succeed. Like, let's start you with something that is quite low maintenance. And a lot of the time, obviously, people's confidence with these things, literally pun intended, grows along with their plants. And I think that's it. It's like, just start with something that suits your lifestyle. If you know that you're out of town a lot, then get something that does only need to be watered, maybe that kind of once a month, things like that. And, you know, even in the book, I've got a little section where we talk about ways that you can water your plants while you're away on holiday. But if, you know, other people, if they kind of overlove their plants, get plants that are thirsty. And that's something I talk about in the book. Just, you know, kind of try and select plants that do suit your lifestyle. And just mainly looking at the lighting, like you mentioned, I think that's the number one thing to always consider. It's like, where do you want to put the plant? And then have a look at, you know, really briefly and basically where a plant comes from. So humid space, and it's quite bright, but doesn't get a lot of direct sunlight, then tropical plants are perfect. Desert plants are great for you know, people who thrive from neglecting their plants.
I saw in your book that you talk about how to tell the lighting. Do you want to say something about that? Because people, sometimes they get confused over direct light, softer light, filtered light.
I love how your light's going in and out when you say that too, Nancy, on this.
I know. I'm
She's in the window.
I'm in the window. She I'm sitting the in the window right now. I am sitting in a window right now with a dog at my feet who I'm scratching with my toes.
To make sure there's no barking.
A lovely existence. Yeah. Surrounded by a panel of plants behind you. I mean, it's basically.
That's right.
Actually, there is. There's a whole bamboo forest on behind her.
Yes.
So no, looking
about
at
lighting.
Yeah, looking at the lighting, there's a few different ways that you can do it. You can either choose plants that suit the exact lighting that you do have. I mean, I've got a whole section on low light plants. A lot of the time it's either going to be plants that need things like can deal with the lower light, or plants that can take the high light. But there's even little tricks that you can do. If you do have, like, let's say a south-facing window and the light's quite intense, and maybe you don't necessarily want to just have cactus and succulents, you can even put like one of the little sheen curtains over it, because as long as you're doing something to filter that light a little bit, then that's going to make it so it doesn't fry. But yeah, one of the little tips is basically holding a white piece of paper, like just like a printing paper, and holding it up behind it and just seeing how much you can see the shadow of your hand. That's just a really good way to start to figure out how much kind of intense sun it's going to get. But I think a lot of the time it's just about kind of paying a little bit of attention. One, your plants do talk to you. I think plants, we get pretty good signs sometimes of if they're happy and not. And you know, right. You're paying a little bit of attention to a slight wilting, to discoloration of leaves. You can always still move it around your home or office.
Is that the discoloring? Recently we were in a house where we've been before and they just moved the plants because they're staging it to sell. And all of a sudden I turned around, the plant was watered and fine, was going brown. And I'm like, oh, you put it away from the window. Quick, yeah. Can I move your plant? It's, you know, so it was getting this brown and I'm going, is it fertilizer? Is that a light thing? So what would be the first thing to think of when you see that discoloring?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the different colorations can depend on the plant type, but a lot of the time, like on paper, yellowing of leaves is a sign of overwatering, for example. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, browning of the leaves is potentially kind of like root rot, and so therefore maybe it's not getting enough light to dry out between those waterings. And if it's brown tips of the leaves, a lot of the time if it's crispy and brown, then that's going to be that it's not getting enough water, that it's thirsty.
Okay. Mm. That was interesting because she had it. It's one of those that stretch out with vines everywhere, you know, like a wandering Charlie kind of thing. And so the whole plant at the base was just covered with the what was growing and then pushed all into the pot. Oh, so yeah. I don't think it was breathing.
Aeration. Yeah. Being able to aerate that soil as well. I mean, this is it. Sometimes if people have just too much soil compacted into a plant pot, and especially if there's not a drainage hole, if there's nowhere for the water to go and it's just within a pot, then that can be another one of the problems. Mm. So, yeah, we always kind of need to make sure, and we talk about this quite a bit in the book, that realistically the lighting is one thing and then proper drainage is another. There's different ways that you can kind of add drainage layers to your soil or into a pot that doesn't have a drainage hole, just to make sure those roots can still breathe.
So it's interesting about you being in England with this. So it kind of shows that anywhere can have plants, you know, because you know you think about snow and everything, and it's, you know, but you get rain in England. We know that.
You get tons of rain.
Yeah. Yeah. But we were in Wisconsin over winter. Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, we're talking real snow and real cold. And they had plants all along the front window. And then there's this white light that comes from the snow. And it's cold out there. I'm you have to have a toddy to do anything. That's mm-hmm. the only way to survive. But her plants, she had a tomato plant, and it's some fancy Italian name that I don't know, but it's a big deal. Had over Christmas, and she called it the Christmas miracle plant. She had tomatoes, and then she had peppers yeah. growing mm-hmm. in the winter. So we were like, how did this happen?
You know, yeah, over winter. It was very odd.
But it was, you know, it was light and keeping
and the house was
temperature.
Warm.
Yeah, keeping that temperature. And it was pretty amazing, but they really had a lot of light. And so that's something too. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, you can kind of stretch it. It was trippy, but good yeah. for her.
Yeah, and that's it exactly. You know, depending wherever you live, you know, there's so many indoor plants, especially that can survive inside your houses that would never be able to grow in your garden. And you know, cactus and succulents, for example, they've you know, definitely having a massive comeback at the moment. They become really, really popular again. Mm. And you know, you can have them even in countries like England, where unfortunately a lot of the time it's raining, it's gray, we don't necessarily have the sunniest climate here. It's definitely not like Texas at all. But you can always find those spots in your home that do get a bit more of that direct sun, and then line them up lovely on a little windowsill. So I definitely think it's just about paying attention and utilizing what you have. You definitely mm-hmm. won't be able to have cactus outdoors in this country, but it doesn't mean that you still can't have a plant if you just figure out lighting wise where it's going to be able to get like the most.
You know what I like mm-hmm. is that one plant in there, and I can't remember it, but it's hanging over with like, it's like a jade plant with a little, but oh, I love jade. Jade is the easiest, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
jade is beautiful and it's got such beautiful color, but there's one where it's all hanging over like a little cascading little waterfall.
Oh, that one I think is the String of Pearls.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. The String yeah. of Pearls. Mm-hmm. I love yeah. that, because that's the
that's
other
so
thing.
That's so interesting.
We always want to go for color, and we're very into like, yeah, look, it's blooming. You know, it's like South Africa. We used to have those little stone cactus.
Lithops?
Yeah. And they would mm-hmm. bloom, and it would be like, everybody stop. They bloomed, you know,
yeah.
but, and you what? See them out growing out in the wild, which is really cool. And then now
that's
we can
trippy.
Have them in our homes, you know?
Yeah.
But and even trying to grow cactus from seed, that's a whole other adventure. It's
oh,
cool.
Man, absolutely.
It's I mean, cool.
People, it's so amazing. And like you said, so fulfilling to do it for yourself at home. But when people come to my shop, people are always like, wow, do you grow all this from seed? And I always have to say to them, I'm like, that is another whole different
that's
business.
A whole other
if I was growing things from seed, I would have no stock.
Especially exactly.
succulents, because they're so slow growing. So yeah, it's a labor
it
of
takes
love.
Time. It is a labor of love. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also the for like it's basically when you think about landscaping, right? You put this plant here and then this, you know, up and then low, and how you want things to be seen. But there's like that the pearls, that one, the String of Pearls, adds this kind of flow to your home. You
oh,
know?
Absolutely.
You know, everything's so square in homes. Well, I think one of the things, you know, when you go to certain areas like the Southwest, we have adobe homes yeah. that have curves in them, and we get so boxy in lives that inside our house we have to have something that adds flow and curve. And I don't know, is it feng shui? Yeah, I suppose it can give you some feng shui, right?
Well,
so that's a calm, soothing, you know,
and it's interest shape. Points, because everything in a home is like a square box until you do something to soften all the lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is feng shui, and it's just points of interest and textures.
Mm-hmm.
Plants bring textures, because walls, okay, you have paintings and then yeah. you have plants.
And I think that's it. I always think this whenever I go and do kind of like plant consultations in different offices and restaurants now. When you walk into these spaces, everything, a lot of the time with modern architecture and modern design, we're going back to a lot of like design at the moment that's quite minimal. And then you go into these rooms and these spaces, and until you kind of add those plants, it literally mm-hmm. is like a breath of fresh air, because everything is exactly like you're saying, they're kind of these lines and these boxes, and then
yeah.
greenery mm-hmm. and plants and flowers, so to speak, as well. they do literally add life, like literally life into a space, but aesthetically, even for the eye, all the different textures and shapes and colors that you can get from plants really, really soften a space. Like I think a lot of the time you walk into even like a doctor's office or a dentist's office.
Oh my gosh, stop the white.
I know that all right. And then I really always notice as soon as they've even got that bouquet of flowers or a palm tree in the corner, I always think, oh, I'm so glad that they thought of that, because these are spaces and places that can cause people a lot of kind of like tension and fear and anxiety. Sure. But adding that little bit of life just really does relax people.
And you can talk to the plant while you're going through it.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, no. Yeah, right. I had a dentist once that put a hummingbird, a little glass ornament of a hummingbird up in the window so I could look at the hummingbird, because I was not a very good patient. That was one of those. And you do put me in a jungle, you know. There's the other side too. We can all get into carnivorous plants. That's another
thing. Oh, they're interesting.
If I was ever really to stop cool. traveling like we do, I'd be on the road all the time. I would definitely want to just go into like all these botanical gardens we've done, and going into the conservatory area when a lot of them closed during COVID, you know, the conservatory, you know, because it's closed, but going into those spaces and seeing all the tropical plants that you can grow inside, it's a really good place to get ideas. Mm. But going into the ones that have like the pitcher plants, you know, the carnivorous plants, I'm like, this is some cool stuff, you know?
So cool. The big thing with those is exactly like you were saying, you know, you have to pay. Like I would not classify those as easy care plants.
No.
They need that humidity, and like a lot of the time the kind of specific lighting and heat and humidity requirements, but they are so phenomenal. I mean, when you see them, you're just like, I can't even believe that is even in the same genre as other plants, because they're just so weird and wonderful.
Yeah, they are really, really fun though. Mm. Like we used to have, when I was a kid, my mom had Venus fly traps.
Cool.
That blew my mind. And she used to feed it raw hamburger meat. And she had on a toothpick, put a little bit in, and the plant would come down and clamp. Like it had all these, it almost looked like teeth. When it would swallow the hamburger, I'm like, dude.
It's the day of the triffids, man.
That's so cool.
Well, funny enough, I don't know if you guys can see, because what you've reminded me of totally reminds me of Little Shop of Horrors. But
this
monstera right here is called Audrey 2. And you can't quite tell, but she is massive. She's a very big,
beautiful
plant. Mm. So she's my baby. But yeah, talking about that, I was like, that's totally Little Shop of Horrors. Anytime you see carnivorous plants, I'm always like, oh my gosh,
that's the day of the triffids. The triffid thing, that's still mine, when they come after you with the click click click. But anyway, we want people to have plants and not fear them. But we did get to see we went to what forest was it? Oh, it was Big Thicket National Preserve out near Beaumont, Texas.
Oh,
it's a national park, and you go out. And we were at the wrong time of year, but I really want to go back because it's all swamp, and I dig swamps, right? And so there's this boardwalk you're walking through, and you know, like anything, well, we did see snakes and stuff. It was cool. There's gators and, you know, but there's this whole patch, which is nothing but a field of pitcher plants. Just seriously, like, and they look
thing.
Like they're singing together the way, like, even when they were dried up, they were like you were saying about dry plants. Dry plants are so interesting, you know. They create, I don't know, there's something about fall or autumn in England. that whole the architecture of plants is fascinating, you know, that you can use all of that. But the one plant I also love in your book is the prayer plant.
Yeah.
Those are neat. Mm. They're the ones who roll their leaves, like in a little tube.
Yeah, they do. So their rolled up leaves is whenever they're a new leaf coming up, and then they open and close from day to night. And that's one of the reasons it's called a prayer plant, is they usually have like almost quite like oblong shaped leaves. And so they're all kind of fan out to catch the daylight during the day. And then at night, they literally close up like that, like hands in prayer. And I always have to talk to customers about it, because the amount of times that they'll take a plant home, and if they don't know about that, they think the plant's like going into shock or just really unhappy that first night, because they see it close all up and they're like, something's wrong with it. So I always have to almost like, send these plants away and inform people that this is totally natural. It'll open back up next day. It will look return to its normal form. Cool. But they're beautiful.
That's awesome. Cool.
I like that.
For garden gossip's sakes, we always love to ask this question. If you could house sit for anybody, of course, with the garden thing, right? For a weekend, like just your little, like I'm going here to stay in this mansion, or maybe it's a tent with a plant. I don't know. Where would it be in the world?
Oh,
and of course you want to get good gossip while you're there. I mean,
Gosh. So like a celebrity home, or just
you could anyone, you could do anything.
Oh gosh. I'm blanking on thinking of a specific person, but I mean, I have to admit at the moment when you say this, like the place I would definitely go to at the moment probably is the desert, because we've had such a washout of a summer here. It's like August and it still hasn't even started with summer. So I feel at the moment, I keep thinking back to like, the thing getting me through it is thinking about kind of road trips to like Arizona that I've taken and just going out to like the Saguaro Desert, which is
That's where we used to live, Tucson. That's where our storage unit is.
Tucson's one of my favorite places. I only went for the first time a few years ago. Ironically, never went when I was in Texas, but classic, went when I was living here in England. And yeah, going to the Saguaro Desert, it's become like just, it feels like therapy. We try to go every winter now, tying in with a visit to see my folks back in Austin, and my sister's in LA. So I now kind of strategically, Tucson's almost right in between. And so we try and do a bit of a road trip now every time. And now it's gotten to the point where we're so in love with Tucson and the Saguaro Desert that we go out there now for almost a month in the winter and just literally dry out.
That's funny. Well, have you been to the gardens? Because they've got some amazing gardens that all started as residents, like the Tucson Botanical Garden, Tohonachol Park. There's the Tucson Desert Garden, the Living Garden, the Sonoran Desert Museum, I think. And if you go to DeGrazia Gallery in the Sun next time you go, this is an incredible gallery.
Oh, that's nice.
Built by hand with the Yaqui Indians and local Mexican families that were friends with the artist Ted DeGrazia, now passed. He's the most reproduced artist in the world. And it's a trip. Mm-hmm. So when you go there, he's got like pottery he's made out of saguaros that go with the inside of what it looks like on the inside of a saguaro. There's all kinds. Anyway, it is an entire trip.
It's very unique.
The center of it, like he's built this whole adobe, the floor of the gallery, one part of it, it's all adobe. So it's got those rounded edges and it's super cool. But the floor, he cut choya cactus. So it's choya cactus rings. And, you know, you can see the choya cactus. I don't know how he did it all and glued it there, but it's a trip. But this courtyard is this massive cactus garden. And if you go there in the spring or like late winter, like February, March, you may get lucky. Even if it's not in bloom, again, the textures, the colors, the architecture of these plants are incredible. And he's got this giant, the Yaqui Dancer fountain with this giant Yaqui Dancer. You've got to go.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying. You must go.
Totally going on my list for next time we go. Thanks for the suggestion. That's fun. I had no idea that you guys had a connection to Tucson, but Tucson is one of the other places that really, really inspired my business and my love for it. Like I said, the irony, of course, as much as on paper, I can say, yeah, my time in Austin inspired it. Like I said, it actually took years and years of not being surrounded by it to then go to places like Tucson. And you know, as much as we get lots of cactus in Texas as well, you can't compare it to the absolutely mind-blowing size of saguaro cactus and the desert. And like you were saying, no matter what time of year you go out to those deserts, so much color, whether the cactus are blooming or not, all of the different wildflowers that you get, and it's just
They have five seasons in Tucson. The Sonoran Desert is like, it's a biosphere between Mexico and it's neat. And the saguaro cactus, when they're in bloom, is like, and then when they're done blooming, people think there's like a different kind of flower, but it's the peel of the fruit, that red peel of the fruit that is so amazing. But have you been to Joshua Tree?
I have, yeah.
We used to live there too.
Oh man. So okay, like ironically, you mentioned the two places. Like if I was like, okay, Gossip Garden, like where would I go? I went to Pioneer Town.
Oh yeah, Pappy and Harriet's.
Yeah,
Pappy and Harriet's.
And oh my gosh, yeah, Pappy and Harriet's. We stayed at the Pioneer Town Motel.
Right? Oh no way! Very cool. All the celebrities did stay there.
Oh my gosh! And I'll tell you what—it was the wildest thing because
I bet
it was crazy. We'd just come from doing our kind of Palm Springs out to Tucson and all that road trip, and then we'd never really spent any time in Joshua Tree. So this trip, we're like, okay, we've got to finally stop in Joshua Tree and do that. But we were flying back from LA the next day, and we went to Pioneer Town for the first time, and I'm pretty sure it was March 13th of, where are we now? We're in 2021 of 2020. So this is right when COVID was literally just starting.
And we were there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were there. We were mm-hmm. sheltered in place in 29 mm-hmm. Palms. And where we were actually there the day they closed the park down, because we were filming tent caterpillars coming out of their cocoon thing. And we went to go back and refilm some more to see where they were at in their stage, and we got turned around. But we were there.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So we were all in the same place, basically on the same day. And it was insane because I don't know if you guys remember, but they had these crazy floods as mm-hmm. well. Like that mm-hmm. same kind of 24 hours. It felt like, it felt so apocalyptic where it felt like the end of the world. I remember it was flooding everywhere. Everything was closing, and we were trying to kind of get to the airport to fly back to England.
Uh-oh.
And because we'd been on holiday, we kind of weren't watching the news. We weren't quite so up to date as everyone else was with what was going on with COVID. And it turns out because we'd been gone for a month, some of the first cases in the UK were in Brighton.
Oh, no.
So they'd been kind of like, we're in full, like, COVID moving towards lockdown mode, and we were just like coming back from this road trip totally blissfully unaware. And we were in Pappy and Harriet's when it was absolutely packed, and literally almost all of California closed the next day and went into lockdown. And that was the day that we were flying out. And I remember we got to the airport and LAX, no one was there. There was no queues or anything. Queues again.
Queues. I say queue. Yes, that's funny.
Yeah. And that last day in Joshua Tree was amazing. And just being out in that desert again.
That was the same day we got turned around and we went to Mojave Trails and we went to Amboy Crater. And that was insane. And they have, you're in this volcano, you know, all this basalt, however, now I'm basil faulty.
Basalt.
I can't, now I'm all twirled around. I have no accent now. But anyway, here's all this lava, basically, and wildflowers growing among the lava. I mean, there's nothing like that. And we experienced it up in Oregon this year, too, in Sun River. I mean, and then giant pieces of obsidian that look like huge boulders of licorice. It's insane. And then there'll be plants growing among this stuff. Like how, I mean, so when you think about growing a house plant, seriously, if plants can grow through lava, we can have house plants. We can do it. It's possible.
We believe you, and this book can help.
That's right. Get it, everybody. All right. So everyone, highcacti.com is the place to go. And we want to keep up with you all. Keep up with us on our shows. Go to bigblendradio.com. We air Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Again, the book is High Cacti, and we get the full title, because it's High Cacti, Growing Houseplants and Happiness, again, by Sabina Palermo. And it's by Leaping Hair Press. We like that name. It's an imprint of the Quarto Group. And they really, we do interviews with their authors pretty often. And I have to tell you, their books are always awesome quality. So thank you so much. What a trip, literally.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.